and by his levying war on us, a fact which had long ago proved us out of his protection, it being a certain position in law that allegiance and protection are reciprocal, the one ceasing when the other is withdrawn. No delegates, then, can be denied or ever want a power of declaring an existent truth.
It is important to understand that there were people of goodwill among both revolutionaries and loyalists. There were also scoundrels on both sides of the fence. How we view our forefathers is influenced by the accidents of history. If England had won the war and given some better decisions, there's no reason why the most powerful military force in the world could not have defeated America. Then our schoolbooks might read much differently than they do now. Benedict Arnold might be celebrated as the savior of his country, and George Washington might be condemned as a villainous traitor. Because both revolutionaries and loyalists shared a similar philosophy, the Declaration devotes its firepower to factual considerations. Those Americans uncommitted to independence did not need to be lectured on natural rights and the proper function of government. They probably agreed with the revolutionaries on these points already. But fence-sitters and loyalists did need to be persuaded that the time had come when revolution was absolutely necessary to preserve liberty. Consider the interesting case of a New York loyalist, Peter Van Schaack. In January 1776, Van Schaack secluded himself for an extended period of study. He read or reread the political works admired by 18th century Americans in a torment.